Good morning. My name is David Austin. I work with the Georgia Department of Public Health. I was going to say division because until recently we were the Division of Public Health, but now we've become our own department. And before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge my boss, Mr. Gordon Freiman. He has very high standards for everything he does, so you can imagine how nervous I am. Just a quick factoid. In the United States, since we are talking about motor vehicle crashes, motor vehicle-related injuries are the leading cause of death for people aged 35 to 34. And worldwide, road traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for people between the ages of 15 and 29. That's from the CDC website. And as we know, that motor vehicle crashes, reducing them is one of the winnable battles of the CDC. So it's really important to CDC. To give this a little bit more of a local Georgia flavor, and also to highlight the age distribution of people who get involved in motor vehicle crashes and die from them, this is a poster we have for Georgia. And as you can see, it's the top 10 causes of years of potential life lost for 2007. And number one is motor vehicle crashes. Number two is obstructive heart diseases. But if you look at the age distribution, the smallest age is at the bottom, in case you can't see it. The oldest age is at the top. And if you look at the age distribution, you see that young people tend to have a bigger fatality rate from motor vehicle crashes than do older people. And you see the opposite, for example, with obstructive heart diseases. So it's something that affects young people to a great extent. And that's one of the reasons why it's one of the top 10 causes of years of potential life lost. And to sort of segue into what we're going to be talking about today, the OASIS web query tool. OASIS is a suite of web query tools that deals with all kinds of public health information, not just motor vehicle crashes. This is a particular screenshot from our mortality morbidity web query tool. And if you can see it, going from the left, the first column, I've chosen the mortality measure. The measure I've chosen is death and death rates. I've chosen all life stages for the year 2008 for the state of Georgia. And under causes, I chose external causes of death, motor vehicle crashes, all races, ethnicities, and sexes. And this, a query that was run, would go against a cube and produce this result. So it says that for Georgia, for 2008, for example, there were 1,456 people who died from MVCs, and the death rate was 15.0. Another view of motor vehicle crashes and how serious they are, emergency room visits, another web query tool in our OASIS suite of tools, shows that there were 101,916 ER visits in 2009 related to motor vehicle crashes. Hospital discharges, 7,149 hospital discharges in Georgia. So I'm showing this to kind of highlight the fact that the way we've designed the OASIS web query tool, you have a standard look and feel, you have a standard way of framing your data request, and you have a standard way of getting the results, so it can be interpreted. You know, there's no new surprises with each web query tool. And since I've been talking about OASIS, this is all that's available on OASIS. I'm not sure how far this can be seen from the back. But in the OASIS suite of web query tools, you have tools that relate to mortality, morbidity, MCH, emergency room visits, infant deaths, population. We also have a mapping tool that can go down to the census tract level. You have an animated charting tool. So if you want to see population pyramids like you would see a movie, you could do that through the animated charting tool. Then we have the web query and mapping tool, and motor vehicle crashes is one of those. I'm going to stop there and go to the next slide. And since we are talking about informatics today, I guess the first question is, why public health and motor vehicle crashes? Most people think of motor vehicle crashes as being a highway engineering problem or a safety engineering problem or a traffic engineering problem. But there is a public health perspective on driver, passenger, and pedestrian behavior, especially related to environment and lifestyle. Crash outcomes are affected by health-related services. For example, you know, what is the EMS availability? How close are you to a trauma center? Emergency treatment options, and so on. And we do have a system that we are working on right now, not me, but some other people in our group, or in our division. And there's a system called CODES, which tries to link, for example, crash data, EMS data, and hospital discharge data to see if there's any connection between the two and whether you can predict, for example, that if you had a crash in one particular area, chances of survival will be much lower than another area simply because of these factors. And finally, the health data ecosystem, meaning, you know, hospital discharges, death, emergency room visits, and so on, births, they provide us with information about the environment and lifestyle in that area. So for planning purposes and to see, you know, where people are more likely to indulge in the kind of behaviors that would cause them to end up in a motor vehicle crash, we could look at the larger health ecosystem and see whether we can predict them. So the purpose of all of our tools is primarily to help planners, people who work in public health departments, epidemiologists, and so on, to plan and to allocate resources, maybe write grants so they can focus on the areas where there is greatest need and compare areas across. Okay, coming to the organization of the crash record, this is how we get the data from the Georgia Department of Transportation. Essentially, we have, this is what we call a logical data model. We have a crash. A crash can have many vehicles in it. A vehicle can have many occupants in it. And a crash can occur at many locations. And essentially, no matter what data you're looking at, you would always start with some kind of a logical data model. Attributes of interest. Behavioral factors, for example, driving too fast, following too closely, driving under the influence, maybe none. Environmental factors, time of the day of the week, location, light, weather, and road conditions. Physical factors relating to drivers and occupants, and the vehicle type. And each of these data items could be mapped into the data model that we get from the Georgia Department of Transportation. Note about geography. We just heard an excellent presentation on geography. We get on and the importance of geography and, you know, the how close and how narrowly we can focus. We get the location of the crash as a lat long. And then since we get as a lat long essentially to the seventh digit of precision, we can derive any geographically any geographical classification through a process known as spatial derivation. And since I think there was someone from ESRI over here, we do use ESRI software to do the spatial derivation. So for example, since we have the lat long, we want to look at it by census tract or maybe public health district or EMS zone or city or county commission district, any possible geographical classification can be done. Since we have the lat long, you can spatially derive that particular classification. So essentially, the crash data can support any program's wish to classify data its own spatial way. So it's not just one way of looking at the data, not one way of classifying it or comparing it, as many ways as you can spatially derive. Data quality, I work in data quality, so this is near to my heart. Several issues with data quality have to be resolved before you can even start to build a web query system like this. First is recognizability. That isn't really an English word. I just put it there because because it sort of captures the idea pretty well. When we get the data from a data supplier, usually the data supplier will give you some kind of a manifest and say, for example, if you're talking about driving under the influence, then A means yes, B means no, something like that. But if you get some value from the data supplier that even the supplier doesn't classify, you can't recognize it. So is the data recognizable? And secondly, if you're going to fit this piece, this part of this amount of data into your whole ecosystem or all the other data that you have, so you can compare apples to apples, for example, can you translate it to a standard? So is it recognizable and is it translatable? And the third part of it is, you know, the trend. Looking at the trends, is it accurate? Is it consistent? Usually the trend charts or what we call SPC charts will reveal that, for example, if they miscoded or switched their codings, the data quality falls. So these are some issues with data quality. Additional considerations, multiple frameworks. Different people may look at data differently. For example, when I showed you the earlier slides, the earlier screen captures, it was down geography across time. But somebody may be interested in, for example, down geography across time of day, or in the case of motor vehicle crashes, down geography across contributing factors. So you can have multiple frameworks, multiple ways to analyze and see the data. Of course, you have to be careful not to get carried away with this, because if you define too many layers and nested levels, then you might just get confused with the meaning of the data and whether it's significant at all. And we have just now, right now, I'm going to demo a web query tool, but we're also working on additional cross-tabulation tools, and there's one really exciting tool that we're working on, and hopefully it'll be released in the public pretty soon. That's a private tool, I think. Right, Gordon?
Public and private.
Okay. Secondly, as a note about timeliness, for certain types of data, timeliness is very important. But for cases like this, where you're looking at trends and you need a large amount of data sometimes to get a significant reading, recent data is good, but up to the minute data may not be necessary. So it's not really necessary to have data transmitted to you right the moment the crash happens, for example. Okay, now that we've talked about, you know, how we handle the data, how are we going to measure it, how are we going to classify it, for example, or what are we going to look for? In the case of Georgia, we have a governor's office of highway safety, and they have formulated the Georgia Strategic Highway Safety Plan, and they have task forces in there that focus on specific areas, for example, older drivers, younger drivers, motorcycle riders, and so on. So they were the source of our measures. They told us, you know, for example, if we want to focus on older drivers, we'd be interested in certain characteristics of drivers and so on. So they provided us the measures. And our goal was to produce a facility where the measures can be calculated or classified for any geography, framework, or query criteria in order to compare measure values. So for example, we'd like to produce a map that compares counties for a particular type of crash. So we can see, is one particular county more likely to have this occurrence of a crash under these circumstances than another? So measure definition, back to our little data model that we had earlier. It can be at the crash, vehicle, or occupant level. So if you look at the data model, you know, we have to determine, first of all, what the granularity of what it is to be measured. For example, are we counting crashes or vehicles or occupants? We have to define what is to be measured. We got our definitions from the Governor's Office of Highway Safety's Georgia Highway Safety Plan. So we have to define the measures. And then it may require counting crashes, vehicles, and occupants. So sometimes the measures are pretty complicated. They refer to specific vehicles and specific occupants under specific conditions, for example, certain ages of occupants, so only count crashes that have vehicles with this type of occupants. So sometimes we do pre-calculations and roll them up into the crash so that we can just on the fly calculate, for example, you know, the number of crashes that meet a particular criteria. The second thing is, apart from measure, is metric definition. Do we allocate resources? Let's say I was someone writing a grant. Am I going to allocate my resources to different areas by number or by rate? If you do it by number alone, counts usually highlight the large geographies. For example, in Georgia, the Metro Atlanta counties and Savannah always top in the counts. Those are the big five counts. But percent within area may show that smaller counties need more attention. So, for example, fatal crashes from a particular area are always going to be highest in the Metro Atlanta area. But if you were to go to rural counties, you may find that certain fatal crashes occur there more often out of all the crashes. So percent within area is important too. The technology we used, again, this is just one slide, ASP.NET SQL, C# SQL Server and .NET Sharding for our charts. For the client side, we used a JavaScript tool called jQuery, and we have a data warehouse organized by standard dimensions. So basically, a web application requires some kind of server-side technology, some kind of client-side technology and database. For the process for public health, the first step was to find a place in crash data in the larger health data ecosystem. What I mean by this is that two things. First of all, we've got to see, to ultimately use crash data, how does it fit into additional data that we have? For example, can it be linked to emergency room visits or hospital discharge? And secondly, the dimensions of crash data, do they match some other dimension, so that I can dimension crash data and compare crash data measures to measures in emergency department or hospital discharge or death or whatever. Then understand the nature of crash data. It means what the structure of the data is, what the attributes are, and then recognize useful attributes. And of course, always remember that all data is spatial, and spatial derivation allows us to support multiple geographies from a single data set. To continue, recognize the use of multiple data frameworks, measures, and metrics. In conclusion, we envisioned a business solution and not a technical solution. Our ultimate goal is to serve the people who need this kind of data for business use. And the sponsors of OASIS were, of course, the Georgia Department of Public Health. And for the crash website, the Governor's Office of Highway Safety, GDOT, NHTSA, and the code system. They helped us with defining the measures. Okay, I'm going to have a few slides, screenshots up here. And before I get into the demo, I think it's already been set up for the... Okay.
Switch back to...
Just a minute, not just yet. Just come. This is the a screenshot from the crash web query system. All it says is in the first column, The crash measure I've chosen is all crashes, severity, all severities. Road intersection, all intersections, all roadway types, all numbers of vehicles. Initial type of collision is all. Everything is all. Just give me the number of crashes. And that was the result. Another web query system, just give me the fatal crashes. And I've cut it off at the first 10 or 12 counties because in Georgia we have 159 counties and it's just too long to show the entire list. So this just says for the fatal crashes for these Georgia counties for these years. Now this is a map, what we call a choropleth map, which actually compares at the county level and all of the counties by the numbers of crashes they have, and it classifies them into those five classifications. And the standard is that the lightest color means the least number of crashes, the darkest means the most number of crashes. And if you're familiar with Georgia, you'll probably see from this map that all of the metro area counties are dark in color. That's where most people live, most people drive, most vehicles, so that's where you have most crashes that are fatal. And then you have a fairly high density of crashes in Chatham County as well and around Augusta. This is the number of crashes. And as you see, it's all focused around Metro Atlanta. Well, then if you did a percent of area with all crashes, just to see where the fatal crashes are occurring, out of all the crashes that happen in that county, the picture changes completely, right? All of a sudden, you see a dark area down the western border of Georgia, the border with Alabama. And we were discussing this, and it turns out that that happens for a couple of reasons. One, of course, these are highly rural areas, and availability of medical services may not be that good compared to the metro area. But also, some of those counties, I believe, don't have 911 service, right? So you can see that, hey, when you don't have 911 service or you don't have very good access to emergency room services, if you happen to be in a crash in those counties, your chances of dying from it are much higher than if you happen to be in a crash in the metro area. Disparities, health disparities. Again, the number of all crashes. Let's say, for example, I want the number of crashes in the three-hour time group. What's happening late at night? And as you can see, the number of crashes is going to be the most in the metro area again. But then if I did a percent with an area, again, the pattern changes. I mean, what's happening late in the night? Actually, Atlanta's pretty tame late in the night. But if you look at the map, you see there's a little bit of a corridor to the southwest of Atlanta that's a little darker, right? That's percent of area with crashes, and this is for all days of the week occurring between 12 and 2:59 a.m. So is there something special? Maybe people, is it something to do with Friday night? When you look at Friday night, early Saturday morning, you don't see that pattern anymore. So it's probably happening on the weekdays. So there's something going on there during the weekdays. And as it turns out, I don't know if you can recognize this, but from Google Maps, you can see that corridor follows Route 78 and Route 1, US 78 and US Route 1. And if you talk to some people from that area, they'll tell you that that's supposed to be a high drug corridor, for example. A lot of people drive through the night at very high speeds through those areas. So maybe that has something to do with it. We don't know. Maybe not. So that ends my presentation as far as the slides are concerned. I'm going to give you a quick demo.
Now, can I hear?
Yeah, now we can do it. Thank you. So this is the main OASIS web query screen. You're going to go all the way down to motor vehicle crashes. This is our crash web query screen. And I'm really not going to take a lot of time to demonstrate all of this because there is just so much stuff. But maybe I'll just talk about the measures. We have crash measures, then we have vehicle-related measures, age of occupant measures, and driver measures. If you remember, our data model, crashes had many vehicles, and vehicles had many occupants. So we have these four kinds of measures. Under crash measures, we just have the number of crashes. Under vehicle measures, we have what the highway safety plan considers to be a major classification for vehicles. Passenger vehicles are broken up again into passenger cars, vans, SUVs, pickup trucks, motorcycles, pedestrians, and bicycles. Under age of occupant measures, we have crashes at least one child under 6 and at least one child under 15 in a motor vehicle. And finally, under driver measures, we have crashes at least one unrestrained driver, one driver under 15, one driver between 15 and 20, and what's classified as older drivers, one driver 65 or older. There's some legal significance to the to 15 and 20. There's a law in Georgia called the TADRA. I'm not sure exactly what teenage something, but it focuses on teenage driving, and that's a really important classification. We notice we don't have any measures related to DUI, even though a lot of people are really interested in DUI. And the reason for that is because this system is basically based on crash reports. And at the time of the crash, you can't make a very complete determination as to whether someone is actually DUI. Sometimes the results have to go to a lab and have to be collected back. So we're hoping to link it with the citation disposition data, because by that time, we'll actually know whether the person was actually DUI, at least legally DUI. So hopefully when we get that information in, they'll be able to also talk about DUI and how that affects the crash rates. And we have crash severities, and then moving over, road intersection, you know, we've seen this before, road of occurrence, number of vehicles, and so on. Geographies, right now the only geography we have is county, but through our spatial derivation, we should be able to derive things like census tracts or EMS zones, 911 zones, and so on. Time, again, we have time by year, by quarter and month. Time of the day, day of the week, contributing factors. These are, again, a standard list of contributing factors that we get from the Georgia Department of Transportation, outside light conditions, surface conditions, and so on. And then an ability to frame the response by geography and time, or geography and three-hour time group, or geography and contributing factor. And finally, the ability to show a choropleth map or a classified map. And I'm just going to run one or two quick queries here. Choose a few counties. This is the basic map that I demonstrated all day. It's a person within area. Get data. This is how our application works. This is really slow. Okay, here we go. Well, that's pretty good, actually, for those counties. They show that there were no accidents with unrestrained drivers in those counties. Well, that's hard to capture, because somebody put on their seatbelt as soon as the policeman comes close by. Let's say we're just looking at counts of crashes. We'll definitely get some numbers over here. Okay. Here I'm talking about all crashes, of course. So we're talking about all crashes. Everything is going to be 100% because you're not filtered it by any particular reason. Let's say I just wanted fatal crashes. Okay. Here we are. So in these counties, 0.5% of the crashes were fatal for Appling, and it says that 10% of the crashes were fatal in Baker. Huge variation. We want to frame it slightly differently. Let's say, instead of by time, but by time of day. number of crashes. That's what you get by the time of day. So we have a few posters out there which have the URL on them and also some information about the mortality pyramid. So you're more than welcome to help them, help yourself to them, and so you can play with the tool and see how you can get different kinds of information from it. It's freely accessible over the web. Just hit type in the URL into your browser and you get them, and you get access to the tool. I guess if anyone has any question, yeah, or someone else. Wait. Speed of the vehicle, no. We don't have that. But we do have contributing factors, and sometimes there's one contributing factor that is called, I believe, driving too fast for conditions. So that's a determination made by the police officer at the time. So you have changed lanes improperly, disregarded stop sign, driver lost control, exceeded speed limit. That's one speed related. And then too fast for conditions is down there. Size of car or vehicle, we do have that. Based, we can derive that based on the make of the make and the model of the vehicle, and that's probably one thing we'd consider when we build vehicle interface. This right now is just focused on crashes, so we haven't. That's true.
Any questions? One back.
I think that can be done through Esri. It does do density analyses, contour maps, and so on. But the big problem with that is doing it on the fly. If you want to get your response in a reasonable amount of time, then you have. Right, yeah.
Yeah. But absolutely.
I'm sure you consider the complexity of the fact that those points are not points in space. They are actually in the same language. They are on a road.
Right, they are on a road.
So it's not strictly a spatial issue.
It
works to us.
Right.
And
but for spatial derivation, you don't really care whether it's on a road or whether
really
it's in space.
We had developed this several years ago as a way just to keep track of who's where.
Sorry, I don't
because
know why.
Colleagues.
We apparently, when we switched computers, we lost the feed, the virtual feed. So.
To go back to the points, we get excellent geocoded data from the Georgia Department of Transportation. About 90% of them have lat longs, and they are coded to the exact location. So if the crash happened on the bend on the curve, you can be sure that the lat long will point to that bend on the curve. So. That's right. Yeah, it's not classified by the road segment, if that's what you're...
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We do have data from GDOT that has road segments in it. So that's one particular thing we could consider. How dangerous is this segment compared to the rest of the segments in the road? Yeah, that's a good...
Good question. We're back to...
We have a slide that show what software you can use to...
Check.
Yeah, sure. For the server side, we used .NET and C#. And then for the client side, it's JavaScript, just HTML and JavaScript. And for the database, we use SQL Server. Right now, we're using a relational database, but we hope to move it to an analysis services database, which is cubes. So it's a different way of organizing data so you can get aggregates really quickly.
And then you had something about charting. Is that what I...
Yeah, we use a tool called .NET Charting, which is gives us, for a server license, it lets us generate as many maps as we want. But you get a free developer's license, too. So I was running it, if I was running it off my laptop, I'd use the developer's license. And some of those slides were shown using the developer's license. But for the server, we have a regular license. So you don't see any messages from them or anything like that.
Thank you.
Other questions? Okay. I think both of our presenters, great job.